Raw Spice Bar is the best way to get freshly ground spices from around the world delivered right to your door. They have a subscription membership service offering freshly ground, small batch, recipe-ready spices and spice blends. They have several spice plans available to suit everyone's needs, ranging from $10 a month to $99 a month. Raw Spice Bar also has individual spices and spice blends to purchase on their own. My favorites are the Greek blend, the Grateful Garlic blend, because I love garlic, and I just tried the Chili Starter blend, and it was the best chili ever. They also sent me an email with a recipe for chili cheese fries, and that was so good. Raw Spice Bar even has gift cards that come in increments of $30, $60, $90, and $120. Customize your gift with a personalized message, and that's excellent for the foodie in your life. Start cooking new dishes with Raw Spice Bar. Link is in the description. Bridget was born in 1845 in County Sligo, Ireland. She was born to what she said were respectable parents. Bridget's mother, sister, and two brothers died of tuberculosis in 1865. When she was around 19 years old, an employer's son seduced Bridget and then paid her to leave the area. Bridget claimed that's when things began to really go wrong for her. After the incident with the employer's son, she sailed to Liverpool and then to New York, and she lived in the United States for the next 2 years. She found work as a housekeeper. At one of her first jobs, Bridget had a sexual relationship with an unnamed gentleman, and she became pregnant. When her employer, the lady of the house, found out about the affair and the pregnancy, she fired Bridget. From that moment, Bridget said that she began to resent everybody. She was new to the country, new to the language, the culture, and she was in a time of need, and she was thrown out onto the streets. After she gave birth in a charity hospital, which is a nonprofit hospital that provided treatment for the poor and uninsured, Bridget worked in a brothel for a few months to make ends meet. One night, the police raided the brothel, but Bridget got away by jumping over a fence. After that, she moved to Brooklyn, and she went back into the housekeeping service. She and her employer, Mrs. Horning, soon hated each other. I don't know the circumstances, but Mrs. Horning called Bridget a devilish, infernal slut and fired her. Mr. Horning, the husband, was present at the time, and Bridget said that him being there prevented her from stabbing Mrs. Horning right then. Bridget became obsessed with killing her former employer. She would send poisoned cakes, and she would lurk outside of the house with a knife, waiting to stab Mrs. Horning. Bridget only gave up after Mrs. Horning died of natural causes. It wasn't fully known if Bridget was incompetent or lazy, if there was a language barrier or a culture barrier, but she held various housekeeping positions, and she would be fired after a short time. Some employers would say that she was clumsy, and she would fall or trip, and she would repeatedly break dishes and glasses. At one point, Bridget was arrested and spent time in prison. Prison officials noticed that she would have fainting spells, or she would be having a seizure. Dr. Coriel was called to treat Bridget, and he diagnosed her with catalepsy, a neuromuscular disorder that is sometimes caused by shock or extreme trauma. This was something Dr. Coriel was really interested in. He was a war veteran and dealt with the disorder with other veterans after the war. He would visit Bridget in prison several times, and he was nice to her. Probably one of the only people who was nice to her. And she might have mistook his kindness for romantic affection. When her time in prison was over, she told the doctor that she had nowhere to go. The doctor gave her a job as their housekeeper at his home. She would have a room in his house, and he could also monitor her treatment. Mary Ellen was the doctor's wife. She initially thought Bridget was a great worker, and she especially was kind to their 2-year-old daughter, Mimi. But soon, Mary Ellen and Bridget began to butt heads. Mary Ellen would complain about Bridget's filthy habits. I couldn't find anything specific on what those habits were, but at the time, most Americans were Protestant, and Bridget was Catholic, which could have been seen as a foreign religion. It could have been a cultural thing, something that was acceptable in Ireland might have been seen as a filthy habit in America. So it's really hard to know what that specifically was. Mary Ellen also started to notice that Bridget had a crush on the doctor. After 4 months of employment, they fired Bridget. Her last official day with the family was February 25th, 1867. She would need to leave in the morning. Late that evening, Dr. Coriel left the home to deliver a baby across town. Around 1 o'clock in the morning on February 26, 1867, Israel, cousin and neighbor of the doctor, was woken up by frantic knocking on his front door. It was Bridget, and she was carrying Mamie in her arms. Nearly hysterical, Bridget told him that burglars had ransacked the house. The doctor was out on a call, and she feared that Mary Ellen was being murdered. Israel sent her to his neighbor, Reverend Little. Then Israel went to the main street and rang the large bell as a sign of a general alarm. Reverend Little and 2 other men followed Bridget back to the house. They found the house was filled with smoke and traced the source to a smoldering fire in one of the bedrooms. When they doused the fire, the men were shocked by what they found. The body of Mary Ellen was in the middle of the floor, covered with hideous gashes, and the deep imprint of 4 teeth was on her neck. It was later determined that she had been stabbed 23 times. There were signs of a struggle. Clothing was torn and feathers were all over the floor from torn pillows. Everything was stained with blood. A wooden chair was broken and was also covered in blood. Bridget claimed Mary Ellen was a victim of a burglary gone wrong, but evidence told a different story. Israel and the investigators noticed a suspicious blood stain on Bridget's dress. And the dress Bridget was wearing belonged to Mary Ellen. Bridget also smelled of kerosene, which was, in those times, was used as lamp fuel. Her story changed several times, which immediately caused suspicion. She was arrested and charged with the murder of Mary Ellen that evening. The jury only took 20 minutes to return a verdict of guilty of murder in the first degree. When the judge sentenced Bridget to be hanged, many in the gallery applauded. The date of the execution was set for August 30th, 1867. And while in prison, it was said that Bridget issued 3 separate confessions. She also had multiple seizures. Her confessions were somewhat contradictory. Many believed that she had not acted alone and that she was protecting someone. Mary had been a friend of Bridget's in New York, and she was a known pickpocket. She had testified for the defense. She was questioned after the trial and was held as a possible accomplice. Bridget's 4th confession, given the day before her execution, was the most detailed. She said she acted alone and that Mary was absolutely innocent. She said the motive was not robbery, but it was to remove Mary Ellen from the picture so that she could be the doctor's wife. She stated that she wanted to have a respectable life with the doctor. When she heard the doctor was leaving that evening, she put a butcher knife in a convenient place in preparation. And she described in gruesome detail on how she had committed the murder and set the fire to the bed. Interest in the execution was intense. In New Brunswick, New York, where the execution was taking place, the New Jersey Rifle Corps was mobilized to surround the courthouse. The sheriff of the county hoped to limit witnesses to 200 people, but that number was soon 500. New Jersey state law required executions to be private. Only the sheriff, his deputies, and other specified officials were to attend. In compliance with the law, the sheriff deputized all 500 witnesses. It was later estimated that almost 2,000 people were actually in attendance. Bridget was accompanied to the scaffold by 2 Catholic priests. Bridget was inebriated. She was completely drunk. And when asked why she was so drunk, prison officials said it was to keep her docile. The priests refused to execute a drunk woman and they left. The deputies didn't want a riot from the crowd and decided to go on with the execution instead of changing it to another date. At 10:15 a.m., Bridget was hanged. The deputies didn't know what they were doing and they wrapped the rope around her neck incorrectly. And it was a long, painful death for Bridget. Bridget was buried in the St. Peter's Roman Catholic Cemetery in Jersey City. Thank you for listening.